The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mike Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Armchair Traveler. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from National Geographic. Before we begin our journey on today's Armchair Traveler, I want to remind you that neither the North Carolina Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or other travel itineraries that might be featured in the articles that we'll be reading. These are selected simply for your enjoyment and edification. Today on Armchair Traveler, we're going to go back in time as we journey to Sweden. Now, that's where modern-day scientists are learning more about the warrior women of the Viking Age, the title of the article we'll be reading. The article written by Heather Pringle. It appeared in the March 2025 issue of National Geographic. As an introductory caption states, and I'll read it, for centuries, historical accounts of the great Norse fighters focused on men and their remarkable feats in battle. New evidence shows that some Viking women excelled as warriors too and wielded power far beyond the battlefield. Now, let's go to the main story. It was on a sleepy Sunday morning in Stockholm's central train station when I felt once again a familiar thrill, the jolt of being hauled out of the moment and transported to another, older world. I was in Scandinavia, researching a story and having a coffee and with an Uppsala University archaeologist, Charlotte Hedenstierna Jansson. She had offered to show me Birka, the site of an early Viking town on an island west of Stockholm. As we passed the time before our ferry departed from a nearby quay, Hedenstierna Jansson reached into her pack and pulled out a large copy of an engraving that had appeared in a 19th-century Swedish newspaper. Unfolding it carefully, she placed it on a table and smoothed out the wrinkles. As I gazed down at the paper, I felt the solid walls of the train station slip away and the Viking Age suddenly reach out to me. The engraving, rendered in an almost photographic detail, portrayed a large underground Viking burial chamber containing skeletal remains and an arsenal of Viking weapons. In 1877, Hedenstierna Jansson explained, a Swedish archaeologist named Jamar Stolpe had discovered the grave, now known as BJ-581. It was near a Viking military garrison in Birka. I stared at the depiction of the grave. At the far end of the chamber, on a ledge, Stolpe and his team found not just one, but two horse skeletons lying side by side. In the center, a human skeleton rested on its side, hinged forward at the hips as if the body had once been seated on something. Two iron stirrups lay nearby, as well as surviving bits of costly clothing and an ancient board game. Arranged around the skeleton, Stolpe found an arsenal. Fragments of a sheathed sword, broad axe, a battle knife for hand-to-hand fighting, two spears, two shields, and more than two dozen arrows. Notably absent were items of jewelry that researchers had long associated with Viking women, including brooches. Based on the contents of this spectacular grave, it was Stolpe's conclusion that the occupant was a man, an important male warrior. This finding was widely accepted by other Scandinavian researchers, and as news of Stolpe's discovery spread, Sweden's Illustrad Tiding, new illustrated magazine, published a remarkable engraving of the Birka warrior's burial, inspired by the archaeologist's technical drawing. So detailed and compelling was this illustration that it was published and republished for decades in books on the Vikings. The burial was unusually rich in grave goods, even by today's standards, Hedenstierna Jansson says, and it got a lot of attention. For nearly 140 years, Stolpe's interpretation of the burial went unquestioned by archaeologists. Generations of Scandinavian researchers accepted the view that warfare was the exclusive business of men during the Viking Age, a period that began around the mid-8th century AD and gradually wound down in the mid-11th century. Medieval Scandinavian poets, after all, had vividly evoked the surreal horrors of Viking combat. In their nightmarish verses, a sword was slaughter fire or corpse gleam. Spears were blood snakes or the fires of Odin. Battle itself was weapon thunder, spear storm, and army reddening. In all, Scandinavia's early poets coined around 3,500 figures of speech to describe warfare and weaponry. a terrifying richness of language. Clearly, agreed scholars, the brutal realm of Viking combat was no place for a woman. The Birka warrior's male identity stuck. Birka and the entire Viking world are arguably getting even more attention today, with a host of new excavations across the north and the advent of advanced investigative techniques such as ancient DNA sequencing and isotopic analysis, archaeologists have been uncovering an increasingly complex picture of Viking life. Evidence now shows, for example, that the Viking Age began decades earlier than previously suspected, when heavily armed Viking warriors sailed to what is now Estonia around 750 and met violent deaths at the hands of their enemies. And over the next three centuries, Viking expeditions crossed at least eight seas, journeyed to some three dozen countries, and encountered more than 50 different cultures, from Canada's east coast to the steep mountain passes of Afghanistan. No other Europeans of the day were so daring, so driven by curiosity and wanderlust. In Eastern Europe, Viking trading expeditions journeyed along the dangerous rivers of modern-day Russia, Belarus, and Ukraine, fending off attacks from mounted warriors on the Eurasian steppes to reach two of the richest cities in the world at the time, Constantinople, now Istanbul, and Baghdad. And, by at least early 11th century, intrepid parties of these Scandinavian seafarers landed on the coast of North America. On the northernmost tip of Newfoundland, researchers have discovered the remains of a Viking base camp inhabited in 1021, exactly 471 years before Christopher Columbus laid eyes on the Americas. Clearly, the Vikings had a remarkable talent for making history, but for decades, many scholars focused on the men of the north, assuming they were the only seafarers, pillagers, and traders. But what about the north women? What were they doing during that time? Archaeologists seldom paid much attention to them, assuming that Viking women were primarily homebodies. When you go into a museum, says Marianne Moen, an archaeologist at the University of Oslo, chances are you will find the women doing one of two things, holding babies or cooking. Was it really that simple and straightforward? Until recently, there were few clear answers, but as more Scandinavian women gravitated toward the field of archaeology in the late 20th century, some began examining the lives of the North women from fresh perspectives. Today, their analyses of new excavations and old museum collections are revealing many surprises and a larger female presence. Some Viking women wielded great influence on the north, and powerful queens, regents, seeresses, sorceresses, and landowners, leaders of sacred cults, alliance builders, traders, and travelers. Beneath a huge earthen burial mound at Osberg in Norway, for example, researchers in 1903 discovered a sleek Viking longship adorned with fine carvings. It is the most lavish Viking grave known to archaeologists. The ship brim with tapestries and other artworks and contained the remains of two high-status women, one of whom was likely a respected ritualist and powerful sorceress, judging from her grave goods. In the Viking world, sorceresses were paid to possess many magical powers, or said to possess many magical powers, from predicting the future and controlling the weather to performing battle magic, dark rituals to turn the tide of war. In Viking warfare, says Neil Price, an archaeologist at Uppsala University, magic was as important to fighting as sharpening your sword. Most of this magic was conducted by women. Other women were skilled artisans who played a critical role in outfitting the famous Viking raiding and war fleets. They produced a high-quality wool cloth for the sails on Viking longships. It was an enormous task. Experimental archaeology conducted at the Viking Ship Museum in Roskilde in Denmark, for example, has revealed that producing just one sail for a large warship would have required at least 10,269 hours of labor, the equivalent of about 3.5 years using a standard of 8-hour workdays without any weekends off. In addition, women made all the high-quality woolen clothing worn by the crew of such a warship. And Danish textile expert Lisa Bente Jorgensen has calculated that as much as 17.5 years of labor by a team of women was needed to clothe the crew of 70. Clearly, skilled female artisans were integral to the success of the Viking raids and other military campaigns abroad. But the involvement of women in Viking warfare did not end there. Remarkable evidence now suggests that at least a few of the North women were trained in combat as warriors. The revelations began just over a decade ago in 2014 when Anna Kjellstrom, a biological and medical anthropologist at Stockholm University with a reputation for thorough research, started examining the remains of the famous Birka warrior as part of an ongoing study on the health of the Vikings. During her scientific assessment of the individual in BJ-581, Kjellstrom determined that the warrior would have been roughly 5 feet 7 inches tall, just slightly shorter than the average Viking male, and probably died between the ages of 30 and 40 years. But as the anthropologist began evaluating the sex of the skeleton, she discovered something intriguing. Several key anatomical indicators didn't fit the profile of a male. The width of the greater sciatic notch on the warrior's pelvis, for example, was considerably broader than the mean value for males. It resembled females. Moreover, the warrior's pelvis possessed a wide groove known as the preauricular sulcus, usually a female characteristic. And the warrior's chin was small and pointed, another female trait. Indeed, several features of the skeleton, Kjellstrom explained to me later via email, were feminine, in her words. Puzzled, she asked two other anthropologists to evaluate the sex of the skeleton independently. Both came to the same conclusion. The famous Viking warrior at Birka seemed to be a woman. The old Norse sagas containing intriguing stories of warrior women, Danish scholar Saxo Grammaticus included several of these legendary female figures in his book, Gesta Danorum, Story of the Danes, completed in the early 1200s. One of the most famous was Lagerda, who married a Viking warlord. According to Saxo Grammaticus, she was an accomplished warrior who refused to dress as a man in battle. Indeed, she fought with her hair unbound and streaming down her back. But most 20th century archaeologists dismiss such stories out of hand as the inventions of medieval storytellers. They believed Viking women spent their days as traditional homemakers, preparing food, cooking, making clothes, and caring for children. Hedenstierna Janssen wasn't so sure. She had conducted extensive research at Birka and knew that the garrison hall there had once bristled with iron weapons and that it rested upon offerings of iron spearheads. It was a profoundly martial place, one dedicated to the spear lord himself, Odin. The decision to bury an individual so close to the Viking garrison and its sacred ground was in itself a mark of high esteem, one likely awarded to a distinguished military figure. Could a warrior woman have been buried in the prestigious grave? As luck would have it, Hedenstierna Janssen and Kjellstrom had received a generous funding to conduct a large DNA study of prehistoric human remains in Sweden. The well-preserved Birka warrior skeleton was a prime candidate for the project. So in 2015, scientists at Stockholm University proceeded to take two tiny samples, one from the individual's canine tooth, the other from an upper arm bone, and successfully extracted ancient DNA from both. With this, geneticists generated genome-wide data to identify both the sex and the ancestry of the fighter on a molecular level. Hedenstierna Janssen had received the results from these tests not long before we met at the train station in Stockholm. The individual in the famous warrior grave, she told me, had genetic affinities to the modern inhabitants of southern Sweden. But the most fascinating result came from the DNA analysis of the warrior's biological sex. The individual in BJ-581, Hedenstierna Janssen announced, is a woman. This line of scientific research soon got more complicated. In 2017, Hedenstierna Janssen and nine other colleagues published their DNA study in the Birka woman in the American Journal of Physical Anthropology. To their surprise, the 8-page report, which was peppered with phrases like epithelial union and nucleotide position, set off a firestorm. While some Viking specialists were impressed by the research, others took strong issue with it. Some critics suggested, for example, that the Birka grave may have originally contained both a male warrior and a female companion, and that the skeleton of the male was removed at some point. But there was also no evidence at all to show that the second body was ever interred in the grave. Other researchers raised the more theoretical objection. The dead, they noted, did not bury themselves. Mourners, they suggested, could have placed a trove of costly weapons belonging to the dead woman's father or husband in the grave as symbols of the woman's high status. But other evidence clearly indicated that the weapons were hers. Some old Scandinavian poems, for example, explicitly describe the practice of mourners burying dead warriors with their weapons. Besides, no one had suggested that all the weapons in the Birka grave were merely family heirlooms when the skeleton was thought to be male. So, why bring it up now? Stunned by the reaction, Hayden Stierna Jonsson and several other researchers decided to expand their investigation of the famous grave. Some team members pored over historical records, even for brief mentions of Viking warrior women. Perhaps the most intriguing reference came from the 12th century text, Cadal Gadai Ri Galiba, The War of the Irish with the Foreigners. In it, the Irish writer recorded the names of 16 Viking commanders who led attacks on the region of Munster in the mid-900s. Among these military leaders was a Viking woman, Ingund Riod, whose name, Red Girl or Red Daughter, the name may have come from the color of her hair. She was clearly an important figure. She's a Viking, she's captain of a ship, and she's the commander of a fleet, Uppsala University archaeologist Neil Price, a member of the team, told me. Hedin Stierna Jonsson and her colleagues took a closer look at the goods in the famous Birka burial. What was particularly striking was the equestrian character of the grave. Although the Vikings are best known for their seafaring abilities, prosperous families in the north bred horses for riding and for work on their farms. The Birka woman likely came from just such a privileged background, and several clues pointed to her equestrian abilities. The hinged position of her skeleton suggested that she had been buried in a seated position, possibly on a saddle, whose wood and padding had rotted away, leaving only the iron stirrups found by her feet. Moreover, one of the horse skeletons on the ledge was bridled, as if already ready to be ridden. In addition, the grave contained other equestrian gear, including what was likely a large curricone. The battle gear arranged around the warrior skeleton also told a story. The arrows, for example, were specially designed to pierce an enemy's armor. These were not for show. The other weaponry in the grave, shields, spears, double-edged sword, broad axe, and battle knife, suggested that the warrior woman was also highly trained in several forms of attack, including hand-to-hand combat. Other clues, including part of a silver coin minted by the Abbasid Caliphate, a sprawling Muslim empire whose capital lay in what is now Baghdad, linked the woman to the lucrative Viking trade in the East, and an analysis of the clothing fragments discovered in the grave revealed a distinctively Eastern style of dress. She was buried in a spectacular Eurasian steppe-style riding coat, trimmed with silk and possibly ornamented with small pieces of mirror glass to catch the light. She also wore a costly silk cap decorated with a silver tassel and four small silver balls. Both the style and the materials inferred that it was likely manufactured in the Viking settlement of Kiev, which was perched along a major river route leading to Constantinople. Taken together, the clothing pointed to a very important person with strong connections to the East. Indeed, comparative research by Scandinavian archaeologists and textile specialist Inga Hag suggested that individuals buried in such distinctive hats were likely cavalry commanders who reported directly to a king or prince. A theory the researcher proposed before the occupant of the famous grave was identified as a woman. Birka's female warrior may have been skilled in a particular kind of equestrian combat. During the extensive excavations conducted at Birka's garrison during the late 1990s and early 2000s, archaeologists found remnants of Eastern archery equipment, including arrowheads used with composite Eastern bows. The discovery strongly indicated that some warriors garrisoned in Birka were trained in a type of horseback archery mastered by nomadic tribes on the Eurasian steppes. Today, Hedin Stierna Jonsson thinks the Birka woman may have trained as an Eastern horseback archer, too. It's a suggestion rather than a fact, she explained by email, adding that it is based on the array of weapons in combination with the horses and the general, the Eastern Russian steppe nomadic feel to the grave and dress. The idea that the female buried in the famous warrior grave could have fought as a horseback archer was deeply intriguing, and I found myself wondering whether that ancient martial technique may have leveled the playing field for some female warriors in the Viking Age. To learn more, I decided to reach out to a German scientist I knew who had undergone years of training to become a horseback archer herself. Angela Greffen, an ancient DNA specialist in Germany, who has studied and published on the genome of Ötzi, the well-known Iceman who was discovered melting out of a glacier in 1991. She wasn't surprised by the suggestion that the Birka woman trained as a mounted archer. Indeed, the idea seemed plausible to her. Equestrian disciplines are the one Olympic field where men and women compete against each other on equal terms, Greffen told me in an email. While not an Olympic sport, the same applies to horseback archery, with several women among the ranks of the world's best. Greffen also mentioned published archaeological evidence pointing to a long tradition of female horseback archers on the Eurasian steppes, an area well known to Viking traders and warriors. Excavations from as far west as Ukraine and as far east as Central Asia have uncovered the remains of approximately 300 armed females, some with horses and equestrian equipment and burial mounds dating to between the 8th century B.C. and the 4th century A.D. In one remarkable grave field known as Mazhagora in Ukraine, archaeologist Elena Fialko of the National Academy of Science in Ukraine discovered the burials of about a dozen women who formed light-armed cavalry. The gear interred with these armed Eastern women varied widely, from swords and spears to armor and helmets. But the bow and arrow appeared to be the weapons of choice. Indeed, one ancient burial of a steppe woman along the Dnieper River contained a quiver holding 92 arrows. In the view of Adrian Mayer, a Stanford University historian and an expert on the archaeological evidence of warrior women in antiquity, the combination of an equestrian lifestyle with archery created something powerful for women. The horse and the bow were the equalizers. Women could be just as tough, fast, and deadly as men, Mayer wrote in the journal Foreign Affairs. In 2019, the Swedish team published a second article on the Birka woman in the journal Antiquity. They laid out pages of detailed archaeological and historical evidence to support the contention that the woman in the weapon-packed grave was a warrior and quite possibly a military commander. For many Viking Age specialists, including Marianne Moen, the head of the Department of Archaeology at the Museum of Cultural History in Oslo, the second paper was very convincing. By the time Hedenstier and Janssen and I reached Birka, it was well past midday, and the sky had clouded over. We walked up the slope to the hill fort in the garrison hall, where Birka's warriors were once feasted and drank on long, dark winter nights. Hedenstier and Janssen then turned and led the way to the burial ground that had once held the famous warrior woman. On a high terrace, the researcher pointed to the spot where mourners had lowered the body into a magnificent weapon-filled grave. I had hoped to see some kind of marker or sign of distinction, but there was nothing at all. No mound, no memorial, no grand vista, no outline even of an excavated grave. A dense thicket of green shrubs had taken root on the spot, shrouding the tomb in branches and leaves. As we lingered there for a few minutes, the engraving of the burial chamber I had seen earlier in the day flashed through my mind. The human skeleton resting on the ground, the weapons of a professional warrior carefully arranged all around the bones. For nearly 140 years, that image had captivated archaeologists and others, raising a myriad of questions about the tomb and the identity of its occupant. Now, thanks to the work of a modern interdisciplinary team of scientists, we have a fuller picture with evidence showing that this individual was a woman, a female warrior, whose distinguished life ended in a grave of an important military figure. She had not just endured the spear storms and weapon thunder of Viking battlefields, it seemed, but she had also excelled there, inspiring the loyalty of those who fought with her. And as I think about what we have now learned, I am overcome with respect for her. Today, nature has reclaimed her grave, but Birka's woman warrior no longer languishes in obscurity. She is once again part of human memory, taking her rightful place in the great drama of the Viking Age. So quite a powerful story there. And writer Heather Pringle also authored the book, The North Women, Untold Stories from the Other Half of the Viking World. And this article that she wrote was adapted from the book published by National Geographic. Now, one of the illustrations accompanying the article is titled The Powerful Magic of Viking Women. And I'm going to read some captions to give you some insight. In the introduction, in addition to new scholarship exploring the role of Viking women on the battlefield, discoveries are shedding light on their place in the spiritual realm. Some were considered mighty sorceresses, or volvas, with the ability to see into the future and cast spells to aid Viking forces. In this depiction of a scene inside Denmark's Frigat fortress, a late 10th century volva, now known as the Frigat Circus, commands the room. The body of this aristocratic woman was buried in the fortress along with an object of her craft. And just below this picture of her before a fire, it says, shining bright. Many of the volva's tools were made of reflective metal. This created a dazzling effect when used in firelight. And then we have some of these supernatural tools they used. Items found in the sorceress burial site were rare, some with original origins overseas, I should say. Foreign, unfamiliar objects could have made her seem otherworldly. One, the Gotlandic box brooch, a clothing fastener repurposed as a cup, contained white lead, an ointment believed to have medical or magical qualities. Then we had the henbane seeds carried in a fur pouch on her belt. The seeds have pain-relieving properties. If it's thrown into a fire, they produce a hallucinogenic smoke. Then there was the copper alloy bowl, originally from Central Asia. It once held fat that, when mixed with henbane seeds, could produce powerful hallucinations. Then there's the bird's feet pendant, possibly inspired by or imported from Western Slavic lands. It may have served as an adornment attached to a headband or a veil. Then we have the chair-shaped charm. This silver amulet may represent the wooden chair as a Cirrus used during rituals and could be linked to the chief god, Norse god, Odin. How about a sorceress' tomb? Well, Vikings often buried their illustrious dead within iconic longships like the famous Osberg ship, uncovered on a farm in Norway in 1903. This discovery was unusual not only for the richness of its grave goods, but also for its 9th century occupants, two elite women, one believed by some to be a sorceress. And then they have this tapestry fragment and some other artifacts from Osberg. The ship was looted sometime after the women's burial, but thieves left behind many intricately decorated everyday objects, including tapestries, delicate combs, and carved wood animal heads. The number and quality of the artifacts indicate that these women, like the Birka warrior, were high-status members of Viking society. And those included a carved boat decoration, a wooden animal post, and a comb made from animal bone. And that, my friends, brings us to the end of today's journey on Armchair Traveler. We hope you've enjoyed it and that you'll be with us again next time. I'm Mike Edwards, and I've been reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and I remind you, the content of the program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Armchair Traveler is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. Now, if you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.